Good morning. I'm Jonathan New, and I welcome you to worship with First Congregational Church of Natick, an open and affirming congregation of the United Church of Christ. I greet you on this first Sunday after Christmas and near the eve of a new year. May our worship reflect our thanks for the blessings of the old year and our hope in the God of promise for this new year and its receipt, our receipt of it into our hearts. I extend a particular welcome to all of you this day, joining us virtually by live-streamed or recorded worship. We may be distant from one another, but we can rest in the blessing that by the power of the Holy Spirit, we are yet one in the body of Christ. No matter who you are or where you might be on life's journey, you are warmly welcomed and affirmed by this congregation. So just a few announcements this morning. We're going to thank our small team of worship leaders that's here today helping us to offer virtual worship only. And so we extend a particular thanks to Sarah Lynn Keller and to Tom Foster, and also to Hank Zaretter and Randy Brewer and Pegasus Natick for its broadcast of our worship this day. So we will have a time of lifting up in prayer those who we want to celebrate with and those who we also want to hold in our hearts. So we invite you, if you have a prayer request that you would like us to lift up and worship this day, to email it to us now at prayers@firstchurchnatick.org. And if we've received this by the time of the reflection, in this case, actually the time of the story I'm going to read a little bit later, we should be able to incorporate that into our worship. We also want to invite all of you to have a candle ready to light together during our time of lighting the Christ candle together. I also want to let all of you know that we will return to the practice of during this time when we are meeting, worshiping virtually only, to a time of post-worship fellowship that will happen following this service shortly after it concludes. There is a Zoom link for this time together in your bulletin and also in the link emailing that went out on Friday, and actually, more importantly, look at today's link because I think it might have been updated, and also on our church's website. So I look forward to seeing at least some of you during that time. You'll notice that we've had some beautiful poinsettias here in the sanctuary during this Christmas season, and so we want to thank everyone who donated and made contributions and memorials for those poinsettias, and also just let you know that they will be delivered today. And so, again, thanks for that, and we know that these will continue to bless people in the days ahead. Importantly, we also want to remind you that we have a great transition plan in place following my departure, which will happen just after next Sunday. The Reverend Elaine Gaetani will be our bridge pastor for a few weeks in January, and then the Reverend Andy Burr will be my successor as interim pastor for the conclusion of the time of transition that you all have been in. And I look forward to receiving him well and to making that transition as smooth as possible. These are delightful colleagues who I know that you will so enjoy. So let us now light our candles together, remembering as we receive the light of the Spirit that we are the light of the world, called to make that light shine forth into every beshadowed corner where the light of God is so needed.
Please join us in the call to celebration as we say together, "Come all that are faithful and all that seek faith.
It is the season to sing and rejoice.
The symbol of new hope and spirit shines. The light dwells among us and goes before us.
We would follow to know light and life.
We now have a promise fulfilled by God.
That the Christ who is born will call us to a new life of faith and action.
Holy One, giver of gifts, amid the tall, tinseled trees, your light breaks through to the world. We hear that you have come to us in love and in flesh. Speak to us anew of that eternal love which reaches out to us in the birth of Jesus. Amen.
I invite us to use the imagination of the Christmas spirit, the imagination that helps us to enter into a space of receiving a God who would come into our world and be right beside us. And so I invite you now to be in that kind of spirit as we share the peace of Christ virtually now. However, knowing that by the power of the Holy Spirit, we can indeed be one in that spirit. Let us share the peace of Christ, perhaps reaching our hands out in a gesture of blessing or placing our hands over our hearts with the intention of opening our spirits to God's spirits and receiving the spirit that we can share, or perhaps using the word namaste with a bow, which conveys the sense that the divine in me recognizes and honors the divine in you. The peace of Christ be with you. So we are back to a time of not passing the offering plate, but we hope that you will remain as generous as you possibly can, not to make this church happen, but to make its mission and ministry possible in the world. The mission and ministry that indeed is the living of that light of God in the world. So, of course, you can mail a check to the church or you can make an online contribution. To our church's mission and ministry, going to our church's website at firstchurchnatick.org or using the QR code that you will find in the bulletin. Freely we have received, and so freely I invite us all to give. Let our light so shine before humankind that they may see our good works and glorify our loving God. Let us pray. God of all things new, in the birth of Christ Jesus, you broke into the sin and darkness of this world with new light and righteousness for the souls of humankind. And so we offer these gifts. We offer these gifts to you with our prayer that new life and love, peace and joy may become the lived reality for all people of the earth. Amen.
The scripture reading today comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 2, verses 13 through 23. Now, after they had left, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and flee to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you. For Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother by night, and went to Egypt, and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I have called my son." When Herod saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, he was infuriated, and he sent and killed all the children in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years old or under, according to the time that he had learned from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what had been spoken through the prophet Jeremiah. A voice was heard in Ramah, wailing and loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be consoled because they are no more. When Herod died, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who were seeking the child's life are dead." Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was ruling over Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And after being warned in a dream, he went away to the district of Galilee. There he made his home in a town called Nazareth, so that what had been spoken through the prophets might be fulfilled. He will be called a Nazarene. Here ends the reading for today.
So in lieu of a reflection this morning, I want to offer a story. One of the things that I often remember during this season of the year is that we are still receiving what it means that God came into our world. The most significant meaning of the Christmas season. And one of the ways to do that is to tell stories that help us to move into that place of understanding something that is maybe impossible for us to really truly understand with our minds only, and yet to have a way to enter into the heart's knowledge of what this might mean for us. And so this morning I want to offer you a story titled Watchmen Tell Us of the Night. It's written by award-winning children's book author Catherine Patterson. It is one of many stories that Catherine wrote for her husband, Reverend John Patterson, who is a Presbyterian pastor. And so he would read these on Christmas Eve services in the churches where he served. So I invite us now to enter into story as a way for us to receive the meaning of Christmas. Watchmen tell us of the night. I volunteered to work Christmas Eve because I was trying to put off going home. I mean, who wants to go home empty-handed at Christmas time? My wife would understand. She wasn't expecting anything. Fact was, she'd have been upset if I'd spent money for anything but food. Ever heard of a hungry farmer? Well, okay, I'm not a farmer, not anymore. My father was, and his father before him. They left me their land and their dreams, and I lost it all. If only I hadn't bought the fancy new tractor. If only it had rained. If only I had planted soy instead of wheat. If only. A bunch of if onlys, and my house and land, my granddaddy's house and land, are auctioned off for a quarter of what they're worth. My wife and two little girls are in a run-down city walk-up. Sheila's six and Michelle is only four. I think what hurts as much as anything is that in a few years, they won't even remember the farm. The green and gold of the fields, the old splintery wood barn that smells so sweet with hay. The baaing of the sheep and the jingling of their bells as they come back to the fold at sunset. But hey, I'm lucky. I got a job. Night watchman at Friedman's Department Store at the Pinecrest Mall. I got me a blue uniform and a cap like a Navy officer, a big flashlight, size of a baseball bat, and on my belt, and this big holster with a pistol snug in genuine leather. Lord forbid I ever have to use it. Like my daddy said, I couldn't hit the side of a barn with an M16. He gave up taking me deer hunting by the time I was 15. I was hopeless, he said. Couldn't do nothing right. I'd probably end up shooting the game warden or something. My Sheila, when she saw me all dressed up in my uniform, she told me I looked just like a movie star. My wife bust out crying. I'm just glad my mother never lived to see this day. Or my dad. He'd never forgive me for losing his land. He hardly forgave me for being his kid in the first place. But hey, that's not the story I'm going to tell you. It's coming up Christmas, see, and nobody wants to work on Christmas Eve. So the boss offers overtime for a 6-to-6 shift. I jump at it. I ain't got nothing but candy and $2.99 stuffed bears to put in the kids' stockings anyway. If I work hard, maybe next year, well, who knows? They close the store at 6 o'clock on Christmas Eve. By 8, when I look out the front door, the parking lot's almost empty. I get so lonesome seeing all that empty asphalt, I just go back to the lounge, pour myself a cup of coffee, and turn on the radio. They're playing Christmas music. I nearly flipped the dial. I mean, I'm not big on Christmas this year. But it ain't Santa Claus is Coming to Town they're playing. It's mostly carols. Hey, I tell myself, that's what Christmas is all about. Jesus being born in a barn, and it wasn't one that belonged to his daddy either. I don't want you to think that I blame God or anything. Heck, it was probably all my fault if I'd been smarter. My dad always said I was too dumb to milk a cow with both hands at the same time. But to tell you the truth, I'm not too big on God this year either. I prayed. I really prayed. I couldn't believe God meant for me to lose that land. It was kind of a trust from my granddaddy, and he was a real fine Christian. He went to church 3 times a week and made his kids swear never to smoke or drink. My daddy never did either. He was a deacon. When he died, there was standing room only in the church. I used to go to that same church, not every Sunday. Not easy for a farmer to get away every week But my wife always went, took the kids to Sunday school and everything. When things started getting real tight, she told me I should pray more. So I tried. I really tried. First, I prayed it would rain. It didn't. Not hardly for 2 years, and then I prayed the John Deere guy would buy back the tractor for at least half of what I'd paid. He wouldn't. Then I prayed the price of wheat would go up. It fell out the bottom. Hey, I said, forget the little stuff. Just give me a doggone miracle. So here I am. I've made my hourly rounds. And it's about 3 o'clock in the morning. I'm listening to While Shepherds Watch Their Flocks by Night and thinking about how the first thing I had to sell off was my sheep. I loved those stupid sheep. My daddy wouldn't ever keep sheep, too dumb for him, but maybe I wanted something around that made me feel smart. I'd look in the face of some old ewe and she'd give me this worshiping look like she'd trust me with her whole silly life. I guess it's why some people keep dogs. Me, I like sheep. Yeah, I'd go for a miracle, one that would give me back enough land to keep a few sheep. How about it, God? There I was, leaning back, my feet up on the table where the coffee maker sits, my eyes closed, when I hear this noise, or think I do. I slam my legs down, barely missing Mr. Coffee, and shut off the radio at the same time, and I just listen. There are a lot of noises in a big empty store at night. The heating system, for one. The first night I was on duty, I might have shot a heating duct in the heart if I hadn't caught myself in time. And if I had been able to shoot straight, my hand was shaking like an aspen in a gale of wind. Well, I sit there and I listen to the heat go on and off, ping, and carry on. The wind is blowing the flaps of the vent in the ladies' room, and there's a couple of other squawks and groans that I'd never located, but what I know by now are just part of the scenery. I don't hear them ordinary sounds anymore. I just hear the sound of my own breathing, which is hard and fast. Then I hear it again. It's faint and far away, must be at the back of the building. Weird sound. Only thing I can figure, it sounds like it's some lamb out on the hillside bawling for its mama. I shake my head to make sure it ain't cobwebbed and start out in the direction of the noise. There's lights on in the store, but they're low and kind of spooky. I'm sweating some. Pull your gun. Don't walk toward any strange sound with your gun in the holster. You won't have time later. Those were my instructions during my training. Training? Ha! Less than half a day. Then a couple of nights with another guard, and I'm on my own. I pull the gun out. I can still hear the sound. It's coming from the loading area where the crates are piled. Anybody could hide and drill me through the ticker and I'd never know what hit me. I'm sweating so much now, I have to stop. Take off my hat and wipe my face so I can see to walk through the door to the loading area. Probably cat. There's plenty of them back behind the A&P digging the garbage. All we got behind Friedman's is empty cartons from the floor models, but how's a cat to know? A new cat on the block would have to nose around a bit, wouldn't he, before he could find the garbage with the goodies? Well, I push the door out gentle and then sneak through. Gun in one hand, flashlight in the other, and boom! I'm sprawled on the deck, on the dock. My flashlight goes one way and the stupid gun the other. It don't go off. I forgot to release the safety. Anyhow, I yell, "Who's there?" And this box under my legs starts to squall. Well, I figure whatever's in there ain't gonna shoot me unless it's some delinquent elf, but I can't hardly stop shaking. Finally, I get up and I get my flashlight and gun and put the gun back in the holster and shine the light into this Zenith AM/FM stereo carton right into this pinched up bright red face of this baby. Yeah, baby. I mean, little baby. Hardly more than a month or two old from the size. "Hey, you," I yell out at the cartons. "You come back here and get this kid." The refrigerator cartons, well, they don't answer. Or the stove boxes or the dishwasher crates either. "I mean it," I yell, shining the beam all around. "You can't just walk off and leave your kid like this. It's against the law." I wasn't sure about that. But if it ain't against the law, it ought to be, right? Well, I keep yelling and watching for some sign of life rustling through the boxes, but it's still as the cover of the moon. Except for this kid, who by this time is squalling and shaking the box so hard that the zenith looks like real lightning. I give up and take the box inside. Cold as Hades on the loading dock. Shouldn't have leave a baby out there. Shouldn't leave a baby at all. On TV, when somebody leaves a kid on the doorstep, there's always a note. While poking around the box, I don't come up with a note, but I do find a bottle, less than half full, plus one extra diaper. Not what you'd call long-range planning, but enough, maybe, to get me through till 6. First, I change the kid, and it's a boy. I never fussed about not having a boy. My girls are the sweetest little things you could ever see, but I'm kind of a hero to them. And, well, I remember my daddy and his daddy and my daddy and me. Maybe the men in my family don't do so good with sons. But here was this little guy churning his legs like a fullback and yelling his ugly little head off. I could feel something in my throat the size of a baseball. The bottle is icy cold, as you could guess. I take off the nipple and warm the bottle for a few seconds in the microwave, and then I test it on my wrist. "Hey, you think I don't know how to do this stuff? I'm a pro. 2 kids of my own and a small army of bottle-fed lambs, if you add them up over the years. Okay, so you're wondering why I don't call the cops. I could give you lots of reasons, but none of them would be true. I don't call the cops because it never once occurs to me. I guess something was niggling at me, else why do I snuggle the kid in a shopping bag? Why do I smuggle the kid in a shopping bag past Gus when he comes to relieve me at 6? It's my secret. I don't want to have to explain it to Gus. I get home. Usually I'm dog tired climbing those 4 flights to the apartment. This morning, I just bounce up, baby and all. There are no lights on when I open the door. When I was a kid, we used to get up in the middle of the night to see what Santa brought. I guess it's different from my girls. They've learned not to expect much. We still got cloth diapers from when Michelle was a baby. I change the kid and wrap it in an old baby blanket and tiptoe into that bedroom where I put it down on the bed beside Pauline. What time is it? Pauline always wants to know the time. I kid her. The day of judgment, the trumpet will be blowing, and Pauline will be asking Gabriel, what time is it? Merry Christmas, I say. Look what I brought you. Then she turns, and she sees the babies, and her eyes get wide as satellite dishes. What in the... I was praying for a miracle, I say, and here comes this baby. She makes me explain, so I do, and then she says, why didn't you call the police? I don't want to tell her I never thought about it until that minute, so I say, why? The kid ain't done nothing wrong. You know what I mean. Pauline is the type that's very practical, and then real soft because she's cuddling him and looking into his little pinched face. We can't feed another kid, Gary. You know that. I'm starting to try to figure out an answer, but the girls come running in. They see Pauline holding the baby, and Michelle is ready to explode. She's so excited. Baby Jesus! Baby Jesus! Sheila, Sheila, look, I told you Santa Claus was going to bring us something special. Michelle hasn't got her various Christmas stories sorted out quite yet. I look at Pauline, and Pauline looks at me. Neither of us is going to tell Michelle that somebody left this beautiful little ugly kid in a Zenith AM/FM stereo carton behind Friedman's department store. This is our private little miracle, isn't it? Oh, I'll run a personal in the paper and ask the party that left a package on the loading dock at Friedman's to call the party below to identify contents and claim. But that's the most I'm going to do for now. I'll figure out how to feed him, how to make him legal. Maybe I'll even figure out how to be a better father to him than my dad was to me. But all that will wait for another day. I go down the four flights of stairs and out into the empty street. I want to watch the sun come up in the sky on Christmas morning. And I feel, well, how can I say it? I feel close to what it's all about for the first time in my life. Like I told Pauline, I prayed for a miracle and God gave me a baby. Isn't that what he did that other time? Isn't that what all the cheering has been about all these years? The end. So receiving gift, Christmas comes in lots of different ways. We do it by sharing gifts. We also do it as the church by lifting up in prayer those who we care about most and those sometimes who we don't know well at all. So I would invite us now to be in a time of prayer together. I invite you to take a look at that prayer list that's in the bulletin and to keep in mind those whose names are listed there. Hold them in your hearts. Perhaps pray for them later in the week as well. I want us as well to keep in our prayers Eunice Chapone's mother, who has been hospitalized with a brain injury, and so we lift up Eunice's mom and ask that her caregivers be well skilled in all of the care that they're giving to her. I also want to lift up the people of South Africa and indeed the whole worldwide community upon the death this day of activist and Anglican clergyman Archbishop Desmond Tutu. Remember him and his example, in particular, of faith in action. And we carry forward his principle that racism indeed defies the will of God and must be eradicated. I would also lift up all of us during this season. As much as it is a season of light and love, it is also a season of challenge and difficulty. Many of us have had our Christmas season disrupted for one reason or another, sometimes by pandemic and specifically Omicron and what's happening now with surge and COVID. So I would keep folks, all those in our prayers who were working on Christmas plans and who have had those thwarted. And also for all of us during the time of sharing joy with family and friends as well, this can be a stressful time, we know as well. And so we lift up all of those who are feeling some of that indeed. We want to lift up Ronnie as well, facing heart surgery imminently, neighbor of Dee Dee and Randy, a young mother who died and a young mother who died today from cancer. So I invite us to take all of these concerns. I invite us to wrap up all of our joys and our celebrations and to present them before our loving God. Let us be in prayer. Let us pray, beloved, lifting up those we know who are in need of God's light and love, and all others whose names remain only in our hearts as we pray. Holy One, you who are the seat of righteousness, we gather in grateful fellowship, though virtually, celebrating your coming to be with us. We welcome you because we dare to put our faith in the truth of your love. You recognize the baby that we bring to you, our newborn child of promise, of commitment to your way, of dedication to the future that you would forge. It is a child of your making, birthed within us by your Spirit, and we are thankful. Help us grow in our understanding of the wonder of the new life that you give. Help us turn to the future with new hope, to continue to trust your ways, to entrust our lives to you. Within a handful of days, our calendar clicks over to the beginning of another year. So remind us that we stand on the threshold of the launching of your new day of faith, your new day of understanding, and your new day of hope. And grant us faith to entrust ourselves into your future in peace, recognizing your presence and celebrating you with us always, lifting us, enlightening us, leading us to life forevermore. We pray these things in the name of the Holy One of Bethlehem, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you.
Beloved, arise and enter into the new year that is just now in the offing, knowing that God goes before you, with you, and within you, ordering and reordering all things, whatever they be, according to eternal loving intention. And as you do, may the blessing of the God of endings and new beginnings, of times past, present, and future, of hope and promise, be upon us all. Go now in the peace of Christ. Amen.